Hallelujah. Praise the Lord, everybody. Praise the Lord, everybody. Amen, amen, amen. There is none like the Lord. His name is truly excellent. There is no name higher than the name of Jesus Christ. And truly he is worthy of all the praise and all the glory. Not just today, but every day. We ought to be just telling the Lord, your name is excellent, oh God. Your name is above every name. At your name, every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess. Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you, Lord, for allowing us to be here this morning for this time of worship. Let's give the Lord a hand for the praise and worship leaders. Amen. Glorious, glorious time of praise. Thank the Lord. As we prepare for worship today, as we celebrate this Independence Day, our hearts and minds should be truly focused on the one who gave us real, who gave us true freedom. Amen. Because even when the colony separated from the tyranny of Britain, everybody wasn't free. With the Declaration of Independence, with the Emancipation of Proclamation, everybody still wasn't free. Even in this 21st century, many are still not free, even because of the laws of the land. Oh, but over 2,000 years ago, there was one who said that if the Son sets you free, you're free indeed. Oh, yeah, and today, because of our relationship with Jesus Christ, we can celebrate true independence. God has made us free. Oh, glory to God. Open your Bibles with me and journey with me over to Psalm 119. And I'm going to read that portion of Psalm 119 that is most frequently quoted and talked about. But I want you, when you have an opportunity, to take some time and walk through Psalm 119 in its entirety. I mean, verse 9 through 11 truly is a big nugget. But there are nuggets scattered all through Psalm 119, and we're going to touch on some of those today as we talk about winning with the Word. It's imperative that you and I are intimately familiar with God's Word if we truly, truly want to have victory in our lives. It's not going to come just because we desire it. It reminds me, and I often tell people in premarital counseling, that you have to work at marriage. If you want it to last, if you want it to work, if you want it to be what God would have it be, you have to work at it. And that same principle is true throughout life in so many areas. So as we look at this today, and I believe, let me ask the question before I read and pray. Is there anybody in here who doesn't want to win? Let me see your hand. Okay, no hands went up. So I'm comfortable with talking about winning with the word, because everybody wants to win, especially as believers in Jesus Christ. Psalm 119, 9 through 11 says, "How can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. With my whole heart I have sought you. Oh, let not me wander from your commandments. Your word I have hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against you." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this another Lord's Day and the opportunity, O God, to come to stand behind the sacred desk, O God, to speak to your people from your word. And O Lord, I pray that you would open hearts that it might receive your engrafted word with joy. And I pray, Heavenly Father, that it will not only challenge but encourage all who are worshiping and watching the Heavenly Father to desire, to hunger, to thirst for your word, which will allow them to grow in your grace and knowledge and empower them, Lord, for the struggles of this life. And also, Lord, equip them for the joys that you have prepared for those who have come to you through your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, use my mind and my mouth that I might communicate, Lord, the message that you placed on my heart today. And Lord, I pray that you will be glorified, the church will be edified, O God, that someone will be added to the kingdom today, O God. Bless the day in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated in the Lord's presence today. People, amen. In virtually every walk of life, have certain slogans or mantras that define who they are, what they believe their condition in life is. And with that, you hear them repeated, you hear them recited very, very often. I mean, you know, Coke is the real thing. And you go on down the line, and there's so many corporations that have these slogans and sayings that are designed to draw people to those products and services that they might benefit from them, but also so those companies can be at the top of the earning scale in their particular line of business. And then you have, you know, you got clubs, they've got theirs, and sororities and fraternities, they have theirs. Every sports team has one that they ascribe to. And the word winning is something that everybody wants to do. I asked the question, did anybody didn't want to win, and no hands went up. So that tells me that not only do I, but everyone in here today wants to have a winning life. Amen. And when I hear the word winning, y'all know who comes to mind, don't you? Zeus. Because when you talk to Zeus, you ask him how his day is going, Zeus is going to say, "I'm winning." And he's going to let you know in no uncertain terms why he's winning. And it is because of the presence of Jesus Christ in his life. And I might say this right now. You look at this here. And every team started the NBA season with a desire to win what? The championship. And Every team wanted to make the playoffs, and they wanted to win the trophy. But everybody can't win in that arena. It's only going to be one. The Chiefs are talking about a 20-0 season, and the probability is there, but we'll have to wait and see if it comes to fruition, because there are other people who are desirous of stopping them from making even back to the Super Bowl, let alone having a 20-0 season. And let me say this now. They can work hard and do everything that they can, but one superior plan can derail their effort to return to the Super Bowl and win it. Now, I personally would be ecstatic to see them go to the Super Bowl and win it, even if they don't have a 20-0 season. But Lord have mercy, if they have a 20-0 season and win the Super Bowl, woo, Kansas City gonna go crazy. We really just want the Lombardi Trophy back in Kansas City. And even though they call Andy Reid the mad scientist of offensive plays, we know all of his plays don't always work. Amen. But there is one who has a plan that works every time, if it is executed as he designed it in his word. And that is God himself. It works perfectly every time if we allow the Holy Spirit to guide us in the application of God's word to our lives. And I mean in every situation, in every matter, not just some of the times or to some of the things, but to everything, if we apply the word of God, if we obey it, God assures us that we will have victory. So let me, and I'm not going to be before you long, so get ready for the ride. This is going to be a fairly short message, but very direct, and hopefully you can grab these points and apply them to your daily life. The first point is this morning, dig into the word. And Psalm 119:12 says, blessed are you, O Lord, teach me your statutes. There have been and still are some very, very great teachers, people who are able to illustrate and instruct in a very, very dynamic way, but there has never been one, nor will there ever be one like God. So the psalmist, as you and I should do, should ask God to teach us his word. And we need to take that same approach, because the word don't just fly off the page and fill our hearts and minds. We have to apply ourselves, and then we need God to help us to understand what the word is saying. So learning from the word of God, it allows us to discover the promises of God, and in that, apply them to the areas of need that are present in our lives. See, and I'll say this so you can understand, there are some good tools every believer should have. Amen. A good reference Bible. Every believer ought to have at least one good concordance to help in our study time. And we ought to have a study time, y'all. I'm not just talking about that cursory one-minute devotion I gave to the men. Amen. We ought to have a time each day where we really sit down and give some quality to our time with the Lord in his word, and allow God to open up the truth of his word to us so that we might understand it and apply it to our lives. So we need to dig into the word a little bit on every day, and God will reveal his truth to us. Point two, Told you I'm not going to be long. We need to internalize God's word. And Psalm 119:11, it says, I have hidden your word, I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. When we study God's word, we must approach study with a goal of internalizing his word in our lives. And internalizing means that we take the principles of the word and they become a part of our nature. They become a part of our makeup. And by learning and consciously assimilating them into our lives, we become more like our Lord Jesus Christ. Our lives become more pleasing to God because of the application of his word in our lives. By allowing God's word to control, amen, our attitudes and our behaviors. And that's the key, that when we internalize it, it does have a transforming effect on the old man, and it has a transforming effect on our nature to act a certain way, talk a certain way, behave a certain way. Psalm 119:18, it says, open my eyes that I may see wondrous things from your law. And the law here is the word of Almighty God. And we need God, we need to pray and say, Lord, open my eyes that I might understand your word, that I might see the glory, I might see the beauty that is contained in your word. And see, when we think about internalizing, it means literally to absorb. Amen. And that means when something is absorbed, it soaks it up. And in that, we begin to understand the word of God. Amen. See, we have to absorb it. We have to absorb God's word until it absorbs us. Amen. We have to study the word. We have to internalize it, because when we do, then we'll understand. Not only understand, we will experience what the psalmist said in Psalm 34, verse 8. When he said, oh, taste and see that the Lord, he is good. See, when you get into God's word, you really get a flavor of who God is. You can taste and see that the Lord is good. And then from there, you move on to the last part of the verse where it says, blessed is the man who trusts in him. We need to internalize God's word, because when God's word is in us, we not only do we know that he's good, but our trust in him is enhanced. It continues to grow, and we believe that God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think. We understand that while we are slumbering and sleeping, that God is watching over us. When we're traveling and oblivious to the danger that is around us, we know that God is taking care of us. I couldn't keep myself, but by the power of God, because my faith and my trust is in God, because I have internalized, I have absorbed his word and experienced the goodness of Almighty God. Let me encourage you, internalize God's word. My third point is simply delight in God's word. In Psalm 119, you see the scripture basically, I'm lining them all up in Psalm 119. You need to go through here and take a look at it. Psalm 119:47, it says, I will delight myself in your commandments, which I love. And it's one of those that the more familiar we become with the word of God, the more we desire it, the more joy that it brings us, the more that we delight in God's word. And if you delight in something long enough, you begin to do what? You love it. Amen. How many of you sisters and brothers, married sisters and brothers out there, love your spouses? Amen. And because you delighted in them, there were some qualities about them other than their physical attraction that really drew you to them, to know that they were the person that God had for you. And then when you married, you really became delighted, I pray, in who they are and who God made them, because they are your counterpart. They are your partner in life. They are your life partner because of that relationship that you have with them. Winning with a word, amen. We must, if we're going to do that, we must delight ourselves in God's word. Many approach the study of God's word as a duty, a chore, something to be performed. And that attitude takes the joy out of anything that you do. I mean, even when you get a brand new car, you just like to keep it all shiny and clean and polished up. And if you really, really enjoy that automobile and appreciate the blessing God has given you in it, because it gets older, you don't let it just run down and get dirty. You keep cleaning it and making it shine and making it look like it's brand new. And see, you know, and not bragging, because I don't do nearly what I need to do with my truck. But most people look at my truck and say, ooh, that's a nice looking truck. And thank the Lord it is. I stopped to pick up Mom and Denise over at the doctor's office one day, and it was a lady sitting on a rock across from the pickup zone. And I pulled up and I got out and opened up to get the step out. And she said, ooh, that's a lovely truck. I said, thank you, ma'am. It's a 12, but I try to take care of it. And she said, I can tell. And then Mom and Venice came out. We all got on and went about our business. And we need to learn how to appreciate all that God has given us. And with the word of God, don't look at studying God's word like it's something that is a task, but it's something that we should desire, we should thirst, we should hunger for the word of God. And listen to what the psalmist said in Psalm 119:111. He says, your testimonies I have taken as a heritage forever, for they are rejoicing of my heart. See, delighting in the word of God allows us to be conquerors in the word of God. Believers who delight in God's word love God's word, obey God's word. They have victory through the word of God. Amen. Because they listen to what God has said. Listen to this. In 119:65, it says, great peace have those who love your law, and nothing causes them to stumble. So now, if you want to be sure-footed and you want to have joy, love the word of God. Allow God's word to find a home in your heart, and then desire to have a time of study and intimacy with God through his word every day of your life. And just watch how God blesses you to have peace of heart and peace of mind, and the temptation that caused many to stumble will not affect your life because you delight in God's word. Point four, and we're getting ready to go home. You need to depend on God's word. Psalm 119:89, it says, forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. You can't always depend on people, but we can always depend on God's word. Amen. We rely on self on other people way too much. And as a result, we find ourselves missing the mark or failing because we've not applied the word of God to our situation. And if we want to win, we must depend on God's word, because God's word will never fail. He said, your word is settled. No, let me go back. Forever your word is settled in heaven. Now, I don't know if anybody knows what the end of forever is, but in my understanding, there is no end to forever. Forever means without end. It means it's going to go on and on and on and on. And then in 1 Kings 8:56, it says, bless the Lord, blessed be the Lord, who has given rest to his people Israel according to all that he promised. There has not failed one word of all his good promises. Few things in this life are completely trustworthy. Possessions fail. You know, people lose stuff for various reasons. Pleasure fades. Things just lose their flair. Our taste for them just doesn't seem to be as great as it used to be. You've seen popularity fail as well. And I mean in many, many arenas. We have seen movie stars who were at the top who go all the way to the bottom because they make one bad movie or commit one bad act. We've seen musical artists who have had hit after hit after hit, and then they don't have another one for 10 years, if they ever have another one at all. So they fall. Popularity falls. We even see it in our lives. That young man who was homecoming king, young lady who was homecoming queen, some of them today you don't even know who they are when you see them physically. And some of them who were deemed most likely to succeed have fallen completely off the chart. We've seen presidents lose their popularity because of one bad decision. We've seen people in high places who were given credit for having high moral character fall because of Satan pulling them off course. But God's word will never fail. Never fail. 1 Peter 1:24 and 25, it says, because all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of the grass. The grass withers, and its flowers fall away. But the word of God, but the word of God endures forever. And see, that is a very literal word from the Lord, because we've all seen grass grow up, and when the weather turns hot, it does what? It burns and turns brown. And I was telling Sister Mobley when we pulled into the parking lot this morning, then when it was super hot, all the weeds that had popped up through the cracks in the parking lot had turned brown, and they were literally just kind of breaking off. If you touched them as people drove in the lot, they were just drying up and going away. But with all the rain we've had, they've come back to life. And we need to understand that in this life there will be things that fail, but there is one thing that will never fail, and that is the Word of God. The Word of God endures forever, and it's the greatest weapon that we have at our disposal while we are living this life. Now, it is there to aid us in being victorious in this life, and that is the Word of God. Let me share with you one passage of Scripture, and you'll get it as we close. And if you remember, I believe in Matthew, when Jesus had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, and the tempter came to him and tempted him. And he said to Jesus, take these stones and turn them into bread. And Jesus said to him, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. If you want to live and have victory in your life, get into God's word. And then Satan took him up to the pinnacle of the temple, and he told him, he said, bow down and worship me, and all the kingdoms and everything that you see out there, I'll give it to you. Yeah, and the Lord said, you shall not tempt the Lord your God, and only him shall you worship. Satan told him to bow down and worship me. And Satan was trying to get glory from the Son of God. And he said, Satan, get thee away from me. Get behind me, Satan. I only have one God, and him will I worship. Jesus, the Son of God, took the Word of God and had victory over our enemy. So if you and I are going to have victory over Satan, it's going to be through the power of the Word of God in our lives. That same Jesus who told Satan to get away from him, late one Friday evening, they nailed him to an old rugged cross, and he hung there from the sixth until the ninth hour. My Bible tells me that somewhere around the ninth hour, Jesus said, Father, into your hand I commend my spirit. Gave up the ghost out on Calvary. Yeah. And they took him down and laid him in old man Joseph's borrowed tomb. Rolled a stone up to the mouth of the sepulcher. And he laid there all night, Friday night, all night, Saturday night. But early Sunday morning, Jesus, my rock in a weary land. Jesus, my doctor in a sick room. Jesus, my way out of no way. Jesus, my bread when I'm hungry. Jesus, my joy. Got up that morning with all power in heaven and earth in his hand. I saw him coming down from Bozia with dyed garments on, treading the wine press along. He declared that all power in heaven and earth is in my hand. I'm glad today that the word of God has found a resting place in my heart. And I'm going to win. Every day I'm going to win. And when this life is over, sure enough, hallelujah, I'm going to win for all eternity. The Lord has given us the key. He's given us the prescription. He's given us what we need right here in His Word. I don't care what none of the great philosophers say. I don't care what the president says, to be honest with you, as it relates to holiness and righteousness. If it doesn't agree with the word of God, if it doesn't parallel with God's word, it's not going to help you win the ultimate victory. I don't know about you, but I want God to be pleased with my life. And hallelujah. I mean, we ought to be saying, Lord, have your way. Every morning when we rise, we ought to be saying, Lord, take control. Help me to see your way, to see your will, to know, Lord, that you're sovereign, that the earth is the Lord's, the fullness thereof, the world and everyone who dwells in it, Lord, and that includes me. I'm in your hands, O God. Mold me, make me after your will. There may be somebody here today.